Welcome to A Little Forward, a podcast by Freeform. I'm April Cuillo.
And I'm Jenny Yang, and we're your hosts. This week, we're talking about mental health, and our guest today is the always wonderful Tracy Clayton. You may know Tracy as one of the hosts from the hit podcast, Another Round, where she and her co-host, Heaven Nagatu, opened up all kinds of conversations about self-care, therapy, and mental health. I mean, truly, they were legendary, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tracy now hosts the Netflix podcast, Strong Black Legends.
We're so excited to talk to Tracy. We both stan. And so for this episode, we got to talk to her all about what it looks like to maintain a healthy relationship with yourself and the importance of finding a therapist that's right for you. We learned so much from talking to her. These are things we both really care about, and we cannot wait for you to hear it.
Yeah, as always, it always gets the realest with Tracy.
Absolutely.
So, later in the show, of course, we will have advice from our personal life coach, Matt Belisai. But first, you know what time it is. It's time to kick things off with Struggle of the Week. And now it's time for our struggle of the week. And this week, of course, we're talking about mental health.
Yes.
April, what's your struggle?
I have many struggles, which is why I'm so excited that we have this space when it comes to talking about our issues.
Yeah.
Getting real, you know what I mean? So I have been in therapy for a few years. I just recently got a therapist that I feel like I really click with, which is like, I think the most effective way to get something out of therapy is to feel like your therapist understands you. And so I have a Black woman therapist, which is great.
It's so nice.
'Cause she like understands what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But it also means that she really can like see me. You know what I mean?
Am I going to tear up?
See me.
When someone talks about anything, anyone seeing someone else, I'm
cry.
Always like,
I mean, yeah, it is truly an emotional thing, but it just means that it's like, you know, if I ever were to come to therapy serving some BS, she can absolutely see right through it. So something that's been a struggle for me as of late is she's told me, apparently, that people need to have hobbies outside of their career. I didn't know this.
Yes, hobbies.
It's a new concept for me in my mind that I'm still trying to grapple with, where she's like, okay, I understand you're a television writer. You love television. It's your main thing. But I asked you what your hobbies were and you said TV, and I'm like, correct. And she's like, you can't only be like writing TV, working on TV, watching TV, talking to other TV writers about TV. Like, you have to have things that you do to turn your mind off and not always thinking about your career and how you can advance your career. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Just because like I've
You're
always
like, does
been,
that compute
doesn't compute just because like I've always been, number one, extremely like ambitious, and so being really hardcore about your career is a benefit to you when you're a TV writer because it means you're on all the time, but it also means that I don't have enough time where like I don't have to think about it and I could just turn my brain off. So she made me make a list of like, okay, here are the things you can do that are considered hobbies that are not just an extension of your work. And so I bought a spiralizer, you know, like a vegetable. It turns vegetables into noodles. I'm just like thinking of anything because I'm like, and I could do this while I watch TV. She's like, that's cheating. I'm like, I don't know what hobbies are. Maybe I'll go to a dance class. I really can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out what a hobby is and how that can be separate from my career. Maybe it could even give me material. Again, that's work.
See, no. We got to reframe.
See what I mean?
It sounds like, we got to reframe how we think about how we spend our time. Because I share in that struggle too. Yeah, all of a sudden, last year, I mean, I realized I was like, I need a hobby and I need to be someone who can keep a plant alive.
Oh my God.
And so now I'm a person that keeps plants alive.
What? We need photos. All my plants are dead. We need photos. What about you? What is your main struggle when it comes to therapy, mental health, self-care?
Okay, my main struggle is saying no and drawing hard boundaries with like emotional vultures, as they call them, or things that truly don't help fulfill my soul. Because what happens to me is if I say no to a friend or like someone who wants something from me, I automatically get into this like mode where I like start like questioning the move. So like, for example, recently, like, you know, I had a friend who's like has been more of an acquaintance, and she was just like trying to get at me and be like, hey, let's go get coffee. And then I was like, oh, like I've been kind of like trying to take care of myself more because I'm coming off of like a really stressful project. And so I've just been really protective. And so I said no via text, and she was like, okay, because I said I was going to be busy and booked. And she's like, okay, well, how about we just like basically like 4 requests later, she's like, well, how about just a phone call? Like she accepted, it devolved into just a phone call. And I was like, okay, girl, I just got to say it. Like, I thought you were going to take the cue, but I just got to say it. Yes. And I really did have to say, I'm so sorry. To be honest, I'm actually not going through a good time right now. And I have to be really protective of my energy. And it's not just you, but I really need to say no to a lot of things. And yeah. I hope you understand. And that's kind of harsh, I guess, because we're not used to that. We're not used to that level of direct, like, pushing back, I feel like. At least not for me. No, I know maybe for other people it's like easy, but that's like not normal. But I know I'm trying to make that more of a habit. But immediately I kind of like had these thoughts of like, maybe I could have done something, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm still struggling with like how to like forgive myself for truly putting up a boundary or saying no in a real way. It's easy to say no to, you know, something that maybe you don't care about, but I do care about this person, you know, but I'm just not in a capacity to care for them
exactly
right now. And so I think that's what's been tough. Yeah. But you know what? Like every single opportunity to say no, I'm trying to treat it as like a chance to like practice that.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes. And that's not easy. Like those conversations can be so hard, but it really does come down to like make or break. Is this person going to suck all the life and energy I have for the rest of the week for everyone else in my life and for myself? And so it can be so hard, but once you make those decisions and draw those hard lines, like you only grow from there. It's so good for you. But it's just so like, I feel you, because I've been in that position where it's like, okay, I got to tell you, like we can't talk for 6 months because you're stressing me out and I need to focus on myself. And it just feels as a woman, we have so much pressure on us to like be likable, that it's like, is
for
this
sure
mean, you know?
Oh,
what I
for
mean
sure.
It's so hard.
Or can there just, you know, is there some kind of Harry Potter, like is there some kind of like expecto patronus that could just show up and take my feelings away? I don't know.
Oh my gosh,
can there be a magic spell?
What's the spell
that could take my feelings away?
Yes. Oh my god, I
no,
so
we
feel
need
you
them. Okay, it's fine.
That is a struggle. Okay, before we get into our interview with Tracy, we have another special treat for you. That's right, more Freeform stars. Today we have Megan Fahey from The Bold Type talking about her character's biggest struggles.
My name is Megan Fahey and I play Sutton on The Bold Type. The first struggle that we see Sutton experience is trying to navigate her relationship with an older man who works in the same building. And I think that through season three, we can continue to see her kind of struggle with that and make peace with that and deal with that and make decisions that feel right for her without compromising her career. And it's not simple. And I think that what Sutton does best is that she's brave and that she's really hardworking and not willing to compromise her success. But she also comes to a place where she's like, I'm also not willing to give up what makes me happy. It's unknown territory for her, but she's kind of at least committed to the idea of like, I'm not willing to sacrifice my happiness for this. I'm a talented person. I work hard. I deserve to be here and I deserve to also be happy in a relationship. So I think that probably is Sutton's biggest cross to bear.
Thank you so much, Megan Fahey, for talking about Sutton's biggest struggles. I'm honestly trying to be more like Sutton every single day, and that's down to the blush, let me tell you. Very rosy cheeks. Make sure to catch The Bold Type on Freeform if you aren't watching already. And now it's time for this week's interview. We are so excited to have Tracy Clayton in the studio today. Woo! I'm thrilled. I'm quaking. I cannot contain my joy. Tracy Clayton is a podcaster, a writer, and a humorist. Tracy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We love you. We
love you more.
We love you.
Oh my goodness.
I'm really, really excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. As you know, this episode is all about mental health. So my first question for you is, what was your first experience like seeking out a therapist?
Woo. Okay. Travel with me, if you will.
Ooh, we're going.
To the year 2007-ish, 6-ish, 7-ish. I'm 20-something and I'm living in Philadelphia, which was very uncharacteristic for me because as a kid, I was very introverted, very shy. Like, I had what I now know is generalized anxiety disorder. Like, as a child, like, I would get so upset because I would watch, like, Unsolved Mysteries because my mom liked true crime. I was obsessed with my mom. I watched what she did. My mom would go to work. I'd be like, oh, my God, my mom's going to get in an accident. Somebody's going to kill her. No. She's never coming back. So I'm already that type of person, right? And after college, I'm like, I'm going to move to Philadelphia. I get this boyfriend in Philadelphia who was my first boyfriend. I was his first girlfriend. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing. Also, I have anxiety disorder. I'm away from my home and my mom and my granny's getting sick and just like a whole bunch of stuff is happening. So I started to get the feeling, I want to say I was around 26, 27. I was like, maybe I need to talk to somebody. And I knew it couldn't be anybody that I knew because I was so shy. And like, I couldn't talk to my mother about it because she goes and tells her sisters everything first thing. And I'm like, if I want it, ain't Rita and Pauline to know. I know their numbers. Like, why? You know, so I couldn't fair. Talk to my mom.
Very fair.
And also, I hadn't really like broken out of my shell yet. So there were like four or five people that I trusted, one of which was my on again, off again boyfriend. And I'm like, well, I can't talk to you about how sad I am about you. So I'm like, would you think I was weak if I started seeing a therapist? And he thought about it and he was just like, yeah. And I was like, well, shit.
Our mouths just dropped.
They did. Whoa. And like in sync. That was like.
Oh my goodness.
He said, yes, he did. I think you're weak.
Yeah. Well, he was just like, yeah. And I was just like, oh. And just like at that point, like something in me like. Simultaneously switched for the better and for the worse because I didn't go see a therapist. I was just like, well, I don't want to be weak. I don't want this person that I care about to look at me and see a weak person, you know? So I dropped it. I didn't go. I didn't look into it. But further on down the road, I can't tell you like how many years I was like, okay, I'm sad. I'm going to go talk to somebody.
Yes.
And so I went to some man who was just a man, you know, just a white dude. And I just remember him making me feel guilty about the stuff I'm telling him, you know, because like at the time I had like fallen in love with my whatever back in Louisville and blah, 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 blah. And of course, the whole time I'm just thinking I need to talk to somebody about these boys so I can not be sad about the boys. And then it's like, surprise, bitch, you got anxiety and a whole bunch of other stuff. Anyway, the first therapist I was talking to made me feel guilty about the things I was saying, the things I was feeling. And I don't know what made me feel okay to be like, this is not the one for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people, Black people in particular, when it comes to like health and doctors, they're either very skeptical and they're just like, I'm not even doing this. Or they're like, well, this guy's a doctor. He's got this degree, which white people have told me means that he's smart. So he must know more than me. So I should just like ride this out. But I was just like, I don't like the way he makes me feel.
Yeah,
I'm not going back. And also, if I can't tell you everything I'm feeling, then I'm just throwing money at you for no reason. You're not even shaking nothing, you know?
Exactly.
So I was like, nah, on that one. And the next therapist happened to be this, I can still see her like it was yesterday, this little bitty, teeny tiny Jewish lady. And I remember that she had this face, like she did not have a poker face. And I remember thinking that she would just look confused no matter what I said. And I was like, oh God, this woman doesn't get me, you know? Like she, oh no, I just fucked up. But immediately after that, like, she would say something and she would take this very, like, hushed and concerned tone, you know? And it just kind of made me feel like I was safe.
Okay.
And then in that moment, I was like, I'm glad I saw to the shit she had an emotion on her face because she was listening, you know? So that made me comfortable. And I stuck with it. I don't remember how I found her, though. But, yeah, that's how I stumbled into my first therapy session. I needed help getting over a bully, I thought.
Yeah.
I feel like the ability for us to like listen to our hearts and our souls, if I may,
you may,
about what feels safe is so important in that process, right?
Yeah, it is. It's also a very tricky thing I've learned, though, because when it comes to a situation like a lot of people who have experienced trauma, there's a situation after that where it's like you don't trust your instincts anymore.
Yes.
'Cause it's like I couldn't keep myself safe in XYZ position. And it doesn't matter if you were like five. And of course, you couldn't keep yourself safe. You know, like logic just isn't present. And when you don't trust yourself to keep yourself safe, like you stay wherever you feel safe, which is like at home, which is why I don't like going outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's been a very interesting journey in learning how to trust myself again. I'm learning that it's really important to be able to see myself and my platform as other people see me. And it's hard because there are a lot of people that like me more than I do. You know what I mean?
Tracy.
I know.
That's real.
It sucks to have to say. Yeah.
I appreciate you,
know what
you
I mean?
Sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like in order to understand and be able to interact and converse with people who love your work and they consume your art. If somebody is like, oh my gosh, another round was so important to me, I miss it so much. If I'm just like, oh my God, it was a podcast, y'all. Like, what is the big deal? It's just a thing. Like, I don't want to talk about it every day. And that's what happened because I didn't think that I was capable of making a thing that could be so important to so many people.
Tracy.
I know. Also,
that's
I
so
don't...
deep. No, but that's
oh,
so deep.
Oh, I thought I was
deep.
In trouble. I was like, I'm
oh,
sorry.
No.
I'm not saying you're in trouble. I'm saying
we
Tracy.
Understand.
Yeah.
Tracy, that's so deep because like it's one thing to be doing you. Mm. You were just yourself. You were doing the thing that gave you an outlet, that gave you some kind of joy. Mm-hmm. And for you to acknowledge that sometimes the kind of feedback you get from other people mm-hmm. is that they see you in a much more positive light than sometimes you might even see yourself. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah,
it's... Like that is so heavy because I feel like it's a gift and it's a lesson.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because
sure.
Why are we out here writing anyway? Because we want to connect with people. We want to feel less alone, right? Mm-hmm. We want to share our stories. And so, like, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that. That's like,
that in.
Yeah. And like, why? And like, what have you done with that, though? That's what I want
to
know.
I think even talking to and listening to people like after a show, it'd be like, oh, my gosh, you got me into therapy. You made me okay with like medicine. You helped me get over like my mom's passing. And if you think of yourself as being like a fraction of a person, of a thought of a person who could be this, it's just like overwhelming. And sometimes it was uncomfortable and it was just like, thank you. But also I don't take compliments well anyway. So it's like, thank you, but please. Ugh.
Yes.
Sometimes it was like that. Now I also I love to love on people. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the time, you know, like
so you can do that
shoulder.
For us. So
yeah.
You can do that for us, but it's hard for us to love on you. And then you're like, I feel like we need a role play, right?
Have you been talking to my therapist?
Tracy.
Are we about
is this
to
an
do
intervention?
A skit?
Tracy.
Come up and set up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
We love you so much.
Coming on.
Oh, I don't like this.
We love you. You inspire us. But truly. But I genuinely am very interested in sort of like, what do you do with that discomfort when somebody's mm-hmm. like, no, seriously, you changed my life
yeah.
in that moment.
I bet you did.
What? And I'm sure you did. Like, what do you do with that sort of ball of anxiety? Or have you learned skills or sort of coping mechanisms the more mm-hmm. experience you have to deal with that feeling of like discomfort?
I have. And I think that's because I had a year long break from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think that was number one. It's just like time out. Like I just need a break from everything related to this part of my life that has stressed me out. So much. In addition to just having anxiety and then later depression, you know. And I think being honest with the Another Round fans and my followers was really important because I didn't understand when the show went away what it meant to people. So I couldn't fully appreciate their... Not anger or outrage. Sometimes there was anger and outrage. Mm. Sometimes y'all did a lot... I didn't get it because I didn't know that I could be that important to someone else. And so also, like, when I'm in the thick of it, I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm trying to learn how to, like, set boundaries. And so I would respond to some people. And, like, if I'm anxious, I'd be really snippy. But, you know, I'm human. And sometimes, like, I would lash out. And sometimes I would just be so... Because Twitter, unfortunately, is, like, an instant stress reliever for me. So if I'm going through anything, whether I should tweet about it or not, like sometimes I'm just like, I gotta get it out. And so that happens. So, and in those moments, I find that I feel like I'm most annoying. But I mean, I'm working on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, why don't y'all get it? Why don't y'all get it? And it's because it was me who didn't get it. And then once I did get it, I felt it was my responsibility to let people know that I got it. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I don't like to be mean. I will if I have to.
Sure.
And I know that in those moments when I am kind of snippy, it's because I feel I have to. It's because it's that part of my brain trying to protect the rest of me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But I will say that there are a lot of times after the snippiness, when the anxiety dies down, I would DM people and be like, I'm sorry. I just had a tough day. Because it weighs on me.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just like, they didn't know.
That's
and I just,
very real.
These are moments where I feel like honesty is just easier.
I think it's so important that you mention in those moments of extreme anxiety a concern about being mean, because mm-hmm. I share that too. And I really think that's a gendered thing. Like, I think when men have a meltdown, it's almost like any emotion they feel is permitted.
Yeah, whereas it's like, always.
Where it's like there's no example of a time when it's okay for a woman to be mean, even if she's panicking.
Listen,
and it feels like she can't breathe.
Right.
And people are asking her questions.
And that's why she shouldn't be president. Get out of my face.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Can you be mean and have a beer? No.
Right.
So no, I think it's so important that you shared that, just because even in those moments as women, like, I don't think people who don't identify as women are able to fully see that even in moments of crisis, we still are concerned about not being mean.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that you shared that, because it shouldn't be the case. But I feel that too. If I'm in the middle mm-hmm. of a panic attack, I'm like, nobody look at me, because you're not going to like what comes out of my mouth. And so that's important. And I also appreciate how real you are being like, if I am, you know, if I don't like my tone on Twitter, I'll like circle back and apologize.
Yeah.
I think that's why a lot of people really gravitate towards you on that platform. I know that's how I found you. It's just mm-hmm. you being extremely real online, because a lot of people are not, being like very transparent and just keeping it very 100, so people feel like they know you and they can understand you and they relate to you. I mm-hmm. feel like that's so important. Aww.
And I have to say, like, if you're melting down like that, like, honestly, I mean, this is how I feel. You know, if I didn't feel like I got what I needed to, you know, become a healthy adult in my childhood, I had to learn this through self-help books, therapy,
Listen,
other podcasts.
The
and so for us to rebuild ourselves, it's going to get a little messy.
Absolutely.
You know, on the one hand, yes, let's be accountable and responsible adults. You know, mm-hmm. let's try to be our best and shine and everything.
Yeah.
But also, it's going to get a little messy, because the way I kind of see it is that, like, for me to rebuild my inner child, It's like if you could bear with this analogy, it's like we are rebuilding the bicycle while we are trying to ride it. To me, rebuilding my like mental health is like is rebuilding the bicycle, dismantling,
right.
rebuilding as you're trying to live.
Oh my God!
You know what I mean? And so
you
it's gonna
just
get
messed me up all the way. I can't say the F word. Oh my God!
You know what I'm
I love an analogy, and that is so good.
Because we're trying to undo things, number one, okay? And then while we're grabbing the wrench, you might spin out a little bit.
Yeah. Wow.
And
spinning.
Then it's like, because I feel like, okay, I'm jumping in the analogy. Like it's double dutch, right?
Yes.
Go. It's also kind of like, okay, so you on the bike, right?
Yes.
And you don't got a wheel. You only got one wheel,
half
a pedal.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then you fall. You're just like, oh my God, I'm so bad at riding a bike. I can't believe I'm this stupid. No, 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 no.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, you're going up a hill. Bitch, you got one wheel. What are you going to do?
You're unicycling.
Anybody else?
Are you a circus artist?
No. You don't even like clowns. What are you doing? You know what I mean? I'm exhausted. I am exhausted.
Yeah.
So something that I'm working on in therapy that I would love your advice on mm-hmm. is, my therapist is like, listen, all your friends do the same thing that you do. Your hobby is also your career. And I need you to get hobbies that are outside of your career, so
yes.
you're not just always panicking about career growth.
Mm.
And so I would love to hear from you. Have you worked on that in therapy? What are your hobbies? Sort of how do you get balance?
So I have not talked about hobbies with my therapist, because I haven't needed to, because I love a hobby. Oh my God.
Wow. Inspiring.
I love hobbies.
You already got your hobbies, hobby game down.
I have a list. I literally have a box full of like arts and crafts in case of emergency at my apartment. So, I got into hobbies when I got really, really depressed, because I needed something to keep my brain busy. Right. Because if I don't pay attention to it, it'll just catastrophize and just like stay in that emotional loop or whatever. I love crocheting, for one. Mm-hmm. And that's because I'm really bad at it, first of all. So I only know like 2 stitches. So it don't get too complicated. Mm-hmm. And then like it's usually just like the same movement over and over and over and over. Sometimes you might get crazy and change colors, you know, but for the most part, there's this very reliable task. You're working towards something. If you're me, it's a very lopsided blanket, and I'm sorry to my niece who's poor baby boy got the most trapezoidal blanket, but
made with love.
It was so much love, mm-hmm. so much love. Mm-hmm. And again, you know where you're going. There's an end, but there's enough stuff for your brain to work out to keep it busy.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Love a hobby.
Thank you
love
so
me
much.
A hobby. Yes, incredible. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for this conversation. We've Thank learned you. So much. Oh, yeah. We've learned how to trust our gut when finding a therapist. We know when to walk away from a therapist. Mm-hmm. We know a little bit more about the trials and tribulations of being sort of the focus of people's inspiration, which mm-hmm. I think is really important. So please tell us, where can we find your work and how can we support you? We want to be there for you.
You can find me on the Twitters at Brooke McPoverty. You can find me on most social media at Brooke McPoverty. If you would like to support me, please listen to my podcast, Strong Black Legends. You can find it on Apple or wherever free podcast is sold. It's so much fun. I get to meet all my favorite people and squeal about how I can't believe that I'm meeting all my favorite people. Also, just follow me on the things.
Yes.
My wish list is in my Twitter bio.
Perfect. Just Thank saying. You so much.
Following you is a part of my self-care.
I will
as well
cry.
As mine.
I will cry
as well
in your
as
face.
Mine. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing. This is so important. I'm so glad that this exists. Amazing. And I'm so glad that y'all exist.
Oh, thank you.
I said I wasn't going to cry.
Do not cry.
So many gems from that conversation with Tracy. She is as wise as she is hilarious. Thank you, Tracy, for joining us. We know mental health issues are so challenging to overcome, and it can be even more challenging to like help a friend cope with their mental health. So let's check in with Matt Belisai to give us some advice on how to work through that.
Hey, this is Matt Belisai, and I'm here to help you get your life together. Every week, I'm going through questions that we're getting about our topics. I'm going to choose the best one and take my best stab at giving my best advice. I'm not an expert on anything, but I try my hardest, and that's what's important. Our next question is from Danielle from Rancho Cucamonga. My best friend recently lost a parent, and I don't know what to do. Do you have any tips for checking in with someone you care about that is grieving? So this is a heavy question, but it's a heavy topic. I was in a similar situation recently. I had a friend whose dad passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly, and I felt the same way. I feel like I still don't know. It's been over a year, and I still don't know if I did everything right, and I think that's the thing. I think this is one of those situations where you don't really understand it until you've gone through it. And there's no right or wrong answer. I think you can send, you know, text messages, check in on them. You don't have to be super invasive to let them know, hey, I'm here for you if you need me. One thing I saw a lot of people do for this friend of mine was sending little care packages that are a little more personal, something that, you know, I think a lot of people in this situation, you get a bunch of flowers from people, you get a bunch of baked goods, all of that good stuff. That's definitely good and it shows people you care, but something like, you know, going to their favorite restaurant or getting their favorite dessert, cookies or something like that from a place that they like. If they need a shoulder to cry on, then offer your shoulder. If they need someone to tell them poop jokes, then tell them poop jokes. The real important thing is that you show them that you're there for whatever it is that they might need. And the other important thing to remember, this moment is not about you, okay? Your friend just went through something pretty traumatic. TBH, they're probably not really thinking about you in this moment. So there you have it. Life sometimes is shitty. We all have these shitty moments that we don't quite know how to deal with, and we try our best, and that's the best that we can hope for. So I hope that helped. If it didn't, don't worry. You'll be dead one day too. I'm Matt Belisai, and you can catch me on my podcast, Unhappy Hour, that comes out every Tuesday. Bye.
Jenny, we did it again.
It's like every single time I just blow my own mind.
We're the Michael Jordan of podcasting. It's so wild. I'm so glad that we have a space to be able to have these conversations about mental health and all the topics that we cover, because this is the real shit. You know
I
what
know.
I mean?
I know. And, you know, I got to be extra raspy on today's episode. What's up?
We love the rasp because we're keeping it real. This is a real space.
Listen, somebody scheduled a celebratory party the night before we recorded.
That's just the real real. You got to treat yourself. And that is part of mental health. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Please share your thoughts about the show on social media with the hashtag A Little Forward. We have been looking and I've been seeing people put their little answers
so
down
cute.
There. It's
I
very
know.
Cool. So as you know, every week we're going to give a little insider code for those of you who make it through the credits. Remember to tweet us your answer to our weekly question with the hashtag A Little Forward and we'll be checking them out. Jenny, what's the question this week?
Okay, this week's question. What is your favorite self-care practice? Shout them out with a hashtag, A Little Forward. For me, obviously, it's going to be about tea and honey.
Absolutely, honey. I would say mine is therapy, pepperoni pizza. Done.
Easy.
Easy. And while you're posting, you might as well follow us on Twitter, too, while you're there, right? Follow Freeform on Twitter at FreeformTV, and you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at April K. Quio. That's Q-U-I-O-H.
And I'm at Jenny Yang TV. That's J-E-N-N-Y-Y-A-N-G TV. And of course, tell your friends about the show. This is how we keep going with all of this goodness. Make sure to rate and subscribe to A Little Forward on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. And I'm going to hit you with the credits. The show is a collaboration between Freeform and Pineapple Street Media, executive produced by Sasha Kai Parker, Kasime Bernard, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, Jenna Weiss-Berman, and Max Linsky. Produced by Agarenish Ashagre and Josh Gwynn, with editing help from Jess Jupiter. It is truly impossible without our team.
Our music is by Brandon Cadell, and that's our show. We'll see you next week, and remember...
And so for us to rebuild ourselves, it's going to get a little messy. Bye.
Bye.